Okay, this is an oral history interview with Jerome Robinson conducted by Brian Harris on February 28, 1993 at his house in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. The subject of the interview is Mr. Robinson's life. Okay, so you were born November 22nd, 1924 in Birmingham. How long did you live there in Birmingham?
Brian, I don't really know, just a short time. I remember, but I can't remember the exact how long I lived there, maybe a year.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, I was just wondering, when you were growing up, like, what kind of activities, such as sports and, you know, what kind of stuff did y'all do when you were growing up there in school early on?
Well, we, just typical boys, you know, baseball, softball, and basketball, tackle football, you know, on Sunday afternoon after church, we'd get out. There's so many things I can remember that we did do that probably a lot of people don't understand now, because we didn't have today's gloves, and we played ball, we played without gloves. Nobody had maybe one ball in a ball club and have a glove, and we just had to play barehanded. I played in the outfield most of the time, and never had a glove as long as I can remember growing up. Catching barehanded.
Well, did y'all keep up with the sports stars, the heroes of the time,
do
today?
I've always been careful with kids, you know, reading the paper and so forth. I remember Babe Ruth, you know, and Gabby Hartnett. I remember him from the St. Louis Cardinals, and a lot of the individual players. I remember that we didn't get the paper all the time like a lot of people did. And there was an emphasis placed upon the paper, upon sports like they are now. So we didn't have that much of a contact, but they had, even back in those days, they had these cards, you know, that you buy. We used to buy a piece of bubble gum, and it would be flat bubble gum, you know, and fit into a little small pack and have a picture of some football player or a baseball player like Dizzy. I didn't gather them or anything as a hobby, just maybe keep them a few days, lay them down somewhere, throw them away. Didn't have any idea that they'd be valuable someday.
Was the gum in those packs of a ball card as horrible as it is today?
What?
The gum?
It wasn't double bubble as we used to get in the pack. No, it wasn't. It wasn't a good bubble gum.
No, not at all. It's still the same way today.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. What about, like, since you didn't get papers all the time, and I don't know, did you have a radio to listen to the ball games, or?
Well, they didn't broadcast ball games back then.
When did you first remember hearing a broadcast of a baseball game?
I can't remember what date that it would be, but I was on the they broadcast the World Series, but not like it is today, you know. I remember Chicago Cubs were my favorite team, and they sometimes, well, no, the only time I can remember hearing them on radio or anything, just long before TV, was World Series. That's what they're kind of baseball.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay, you're still pretty young when the Great Depression hit, and I was just wondering if you could give me, like, any early memories of that, like, just, you know, what the attitude, you know, people's attitudes were back then.
Well, it was just a matter of old saying, you know, root hog or die, you had to work hard. Most everybody farmed, wasn't a job. You know, you couldn't find a job doing anything. And as a teenager and all, I make a few nickels and dimes picking cotton, or had to chop cotton. We had our own farm, so we had to do all the work. Worked there, and no pay in it, except we just went home to eat supper, and that was our day's pay. But sometimes maybe I'd have a day or two off or something, and I might chop cotton for 50 cents a day. And somebody, you know, that hadn't got their cotton chopped out and all that. 50 cents a day, that was a big money that was going to make. And that didn't happen just once in a while. Yeah.
Well, what all kind of things did you have to go without during the Great Depression?
Go without?
Yes, sir.
Well, I don't remember anybody, no one in our family or anywhere that I know of had an automobile. Maybe the old man that owned the grocery store up there had an automobile. Boys didn't have any cars like they do now. And they didn't. There just wasn't any cars. If we went anywhere, we had to hitchhike. You know, wasn't a lot of cars on the road. So it wasn't like a lot of things to go through with me. Of course, I had good luck. Most of the time, anytime I'd stick my thumb up, I'd get a ride. I'd pay back in those days. People would pick you up and go on the road hitchhiking. They'd just have to set the back end of a pickup truck or on the back end of a truck. There wasn't any cars on the road. And we just didn't have any transportation. As far as I know, I only knew about one or two boys in the whole that had bicycles. I didn't have a bicycle or anything like that. But Tommy Pearson, the boy that I knew, he had a bicycle, and I can't remember anybody else that had one.
Well, what about just everyday things like clothes and food and just, you know, that kind of stuff?
Well, we, in the spring, in the summertime, we lived off of our gardens as much as we could. In the wintertime, we'd fatten up a hog, and as soon as it turned cold, you didn't kill hogs until after it turned cold, you know, it ruined on you before you could get it salted down. And so we'd kill hogs and salt them down, just pour salt all over them. I'm not talking about a box, I'm talking about 10, 20 pound sack of salt. Pour it and rub it in on the meats. And whatever you started to eat, you couldn't wash it out. I mean, you know, there's already absorbed into it. So our meat was already real salty.
That was just a preservative, right?
Yeah. And so during the winter, we'd kill a hog most of the time. Chickens, we had chicken every once in a while. Most everybody fixing chicken and dumplings, we'd get a little bit more bulk for the family. I guess when I look at it, I was about the poorest of the poor. I won't tell this. I had one pair of overalls. I was a big sized boy before I started getting a pair of pants. Most of the time we get one pair of shoes a year. Sometimes we went barefoot as teenagers. Nothing usual. Everybody else was that way. But maybe we have a pair of shoes we could wear on Sunday or when the weather was bad. And had a pair of pants. We'd wear the same pair of overalls Monday through Friday to school, and Mama would wash them out on Saturday. And I think I had a pair of pants that I would wear to Sunday school or church. And next week I'd wear that same pair of overalls. Another week, you know. And I don't have a blue shirt. Always never did have a heavy coat or anything, just some kind of light jacket. But we survived. I don't know how, but we survived. But we just didn't have all the things that the kids have got now. Whether it was clothing or whatever it was, we just didn't have it. Nobody else had it. All covered it out together.
I'll still wear the same clothes for a few days in a row, but it's not because I don't have any more. It's just because I'm too lazy to change them. What about when you were going to school, you know, just elementary and secondary education? What were the schools like back then? What were the schools like?
Well, my school, and most all of them was that way, and Alabama, I know when I was in elementary school, sometimes there would be two classes to the room. One teacher would have two different classes. And so she would start off one group and teach them something and give them some work to do. And then she'd start with the other group and do the same thing. They didn't have too much discipline, because they'd send you home, and most of the time your mom and daddy would carry up about it. So we didn't have all that. There was some rowdiness, but not a whole lot. Students behaved pretty good, just mischievous, things of that nature. But they would punish us by, and they used the board, they used the paddle quite effectively, regularly. Anybody that got out of line, kids were just better kids then than they are now. I mean, they had respect for everybody. Wasn't all this stealing, nobody stole anything. We didn't even put, I can't remember the kid ever putting a lock on our door. We didn't have a door that would lock. We just pulled the door to leave. I can't ever remember missing anything during all that period of time. Or you ever hear anyone mention about something disappearing? The doors were just full too. We had a spring where we'd get water. It was an overflowing spring. We dug it out and around so it would fill up, and where we could dip a bucket down in and get a bucket of water. And so our spring, I had to carry the water from the spring of the house, which I would say would have been at least 200 yards to the spring, and I'd usually carry two buckets, fill them up and come back. A lot of times I had to, carry it up enough water to get, or to take a bath in once a week. On the stoves, a lot of times, on the stove, they had, we used to have a wood burning stove, and they had a tank that sat next to the fire box was on the stove, and you can imagine how long it would take to heat that full of water enough to take a bath. And most time you didn't get about maybe a couple of gallons to take a bath in, or maybe a little bit more than that.